So we are starting chapter 41, and I want to let you know that the ideas here are very counterculture to what we're used to in the modern American mindset. It is so different. You might even like
bring
initial.
It on.
Oh, whoops! Hey,
I said, bring it on.
Bring it on.
Intriguing.
It's intriguing, and I want to tell you something, Susan. I was thinking about when I was studying this chapter. Now, I have to say that this chapter, and a lot of people do it before davening every single day, it's not the same reading it every single day and then studyingly delving into it and actually like bringing the ideas home. And I was thinking about in the beginning of Tanya, the first chapter, the Alter Rebbe noted the traits of the Jewish people, and he's called them Rachamanim, merciful, and Gaimle Chasadim. They do acts of kindness, and this is from the Talmud. He mentions those two character traits. He doesn't mention the third character trait that the Talmud mentions. There's three distinguishing features of this people, and they are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gaimle Chasadim. That means they are merciful, they are bashful, and they do acts of kindness. The Alter Rebbe didn't use the term bashful. And the reason why he didn't use the term bashful is because the Jewish people naturally are not bashful. In fact, we are the most brazen of all the nations. But the revelation at Sinai made us subdued in that way. And so we've become bashful, but we're not inherently bashful. And I'm thinking about the concepts in this chapter, and that's what it's going to do for someone. When we explore it deeply and we'll do it right, Bezras Hashem, it's going to be transformational. It's one of those chapters that just changes you forever. Something new happens, a new realization. And again, it's so different than what we're used to that we can say, hey, you know what? This is not for me. Like, I'm not on that spiritual level. This is not my mindset. And we wouldn't be the first person to say that. In fact, a person once wrote a letter to the Rebbe. He said, he says he's on such a low spiritual level. He's so far removed from the possibility of contemplating the ideas in this chapter. And the Rebbe wrote a letter in response. And he said, Al yisrashem mipituye hayetzer ela. Don't be fazed by these wiles of your evil inclination. But instead, if you're going to review the idea a number of times in your mind, automatically the claims of your yetzer hara, your evil inclination, are going to be quieted. So we're going to have to like take a step back, kind of drop everything that we know until now, and look at things with fresh eyes. And the main idea in this chapter is fear of Hashem. Accepting the yoke of heaven. First of all, we hate the word fear. And one of the reasons we hate the word fear is because it's very anxiety provoking. That's not the kind of fear we're talking about. Say the word fear and automatically there's like chills in your spine and your blood goes cold. That's not what we're talking about here. The fear that we're talking about is such a pure form of fear. It's true fear. It's fear of Hashem. And if we come to the realization of the concepts in this chapter, we come to a place of true surrender, of true, and here's another term that we're allergic to, self-nullification. And it's like, hey, it's not about me. In fact, there is no me. What? How could you even speak like that? But the crazy thing is, these same ideas, this chapter is going to bring us the idea that we're totally subservient to Hashem. We must have fear of Him. We have to completely surrender to Him. And at the same time, this chapter hinges the purpose of all creation on one person, and that is you. The same ideas that tell us there's no me, there's only Hashem, also say there's nothing else that matters except for you. In a certain way, all there is you and Hashem. And it's so fascinating and so wild that the same idea that totally as if cancels the person out, gives the person ultimate purpose and responsibility. And it's really not a contradiction. It's really not a contradiction if we view these ideas right. And let's think about, you know, what is the purpose of creation? The purpose of creation, like we learned in chapter 36, is that Hashem desired to have a home in the lowest realms. And there we explore that, what does it mean lowest? Obviously, we're not talking about altitude because this is the only physical world. So no other world has those kind of descriptions. And we're not even talking about degrees of Hashem's presence, because Hashem is equally and totally present in every single world. Just like Hashem completely pervades the highest world of Atzilus, He completely pervades this world. So there's no difference between one world and another as far as how present Hashem is. The difference between one world and another is how aware are we of Him. And lowest means the least awareness, and that's our world. And what does a home mean? A home means where He is completely Himself, where His essence shines. Hashem wanted to have a home. He wanted His essence to shine in the place where He is not at all recognized. And that's right here. And we make Him a home by breaking through the guises of creation, everything that hides Him, and coming to recognize that there's nothing else besides Him. And His home becomes in us. When our psyche is pervaded with the awareness of Hashem's imminent presence and Hashem's utter truth, and that there's nothing else that's true besides Him, we have broken through all those facades and we have created a home within ourselves. And the same thing when we do a mitzvah and we use the physicality of this world that naturally hides Him and we use it to express Him, we have taken something that hides Him and use it to reveal Him. We have created a home for Hashem in this world. In order to do that, we have to be in the right space. In order to truly fulfill our mission, in order to truly serve Hashem, we have to be in the right space. Last chapter, we talked a lot about kavana. Kavana, which means intention, really are the intentions of love and fear. Having those intentions elevates our mitzvah to another realm where we can see that this is about Hashem. And in chapter 39, the Alter Rebbe told us that you never do something for someone else unless you either love them or you fear them. And he said over there that just like a person cannot do something for his friend unless he loves him or he fears him, so too is it impossible to do something for Hashem's name, to act truly for His name, solely to fulfill His will, without any remembrance or awakening love for Him or fear of Him at all in one's mind, thought, and recesses of the heart. And then he said, so he was focusing mostly on love. Why do you do something for Hashem? Up until now, we were thinking you do something for Hashem because you want to connect to Him. How do we connect to Hashem? There's only one way. The Alter Rebbe writes in the fourth chapter of Tanya, it is impossible to attach to Him if not for the fulfillment of the 248 positive commands. So in an act of love, of wanting to attach, we do a mitzvah. We discussed love, but we didn't really discuss fear. The Alter Rebbe over there in chapter 39 said, "V'gam ahava levada eina nikreis b'shem avaida." Love by itself is not called by the name of serving God without at least the lower level of fear, which is hidden in the heart of every Jew. And he said, I'm going to explain that later, as will be explained below. And that's right here in this chapter. So there's a story in the Talmud about Elazar ben Dordaya. Elazar ben Dordaya was an extremely sinful, immoral person. They said about him that he never encountered an immoral woman without engaging her services. And one of these women said to him, you know, you're so bad, you can't even do tshuva. And somehow that got to him. And he suddenly realized that he needs to do tshuva. And so he called out and he said, mountains and hills, pray for mercy for me. And they said, pray for mercy for you? We're in need of mercy ourselves. So he said, heaven and earth, pray for mercy for me. He said, mercy for you? We need it for ourselves. Sun and moon, pray for me. No, we need it for ourselves. Stars and planets, pray for mercy for me. He said, we need it for ourselves. And suddenly he realized no one's going to do it for him. And so he said, Im kein, ein hadavar taloi ela bi. If that's the case, then the matter is dependent entirely upon me. And he put his head between his knees and he cried and he cried and he cried until his soul left him. And when his soul left his body, an announcement was made. Make way for Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. He even earned the title Rabbi in his moment of teshuva. And when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the leader of the Jewish people, heard this story, he cried. And he said, Yesh kaina elmai b'sha achas. There is somebody who acquires his world in one moment. Sha'a means an hour. It also means turning. Like, for example, it says, Vayisha Hashem el Hevel. And Hashem turned towards Hevel when he brought a sacrifice. In one moment, in one twisting, one turning of the heart, he was able to acquire, go from a place of being a complete Rasha to being someone who has a portion in the world to come and even being called Rabbi. And I once heard a rabbi speak about this and he asked, why was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi crying? He should have been so happy for him. Look at Elazar ben Dordaya. In one moment, he did such powerful teshuvah that he changed his entire destiny. And he said the reason why Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was crying was because in one dying moment, look what Elazar ben Dordaya achieved. Imagine if he didn't die with that realization. Imagine if he lived with that realization. If he lived with that realization, he could have achieved transformation, not just for himself, but for the entire world, for the destiny of the entire world. That's what we're working at this chapter. We want to come to a new realization. We want to be overwhelmed. We want to be so aware, so keenly in tune with the fact that Hashem is imminently present, that it changes everything about us. This is something that the Rama writes right in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. He says, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid. I have set the Lord before me constantly, and this is from Tehillim, who klal gadol b'tayru v'mayelos ha-tzedikim asher holchem lefnei ha-elekim. This is a major principle in the Torah and amongst the virtues of the righteous who walk before God. And he goes on to say, the way a person sits, the way he moves, the way he deals when he's in his house is not the same way he does it when he's right before a great king. Imagine if you take to heart that the great king, the Holy One, blessed is he whose glory fills the earth, is standing over you and watching your actions. Now, it is a very awe-inspiring idea. Awe-inspiring idea, and it's meant to be. It's meant to inspire awe. It's meant to change us to the point that we realize that our entire identity is but a channel for the divine. And we love the word love. But when it comes to fear, we're like, I don't know. Even our love, and again, I'm saying such strong statements, we have to think about it, but it's true. Even our love is not authentic if there's no at least very basic element of fear. And that's what we're exploring here in this chapter. So let's get to it. Chapter 41, I'm going to start in the middle of the commentary from Lessons in Tanya. In the last few chapters, the Alter Rebbe went on to explain that love and fear are the wings that elevate one's mitzvot, causing them to ascend to the sefirot of the upper world. Conversely, mitzvot fulfilled without the spiritual intent fostered by the love and fear of God are likened to a body bereft of its soul. In chapter 41, the Alter Rebbe now goes on to say that fear of God is the beginning and core of divine service. This is not only regarding the negative precepts, but also with regard to the positive precepts. While it is true that love of God motivates one's observance of the positive commands, nevertheless, the observance of these commands too must be impelled by some measure of fear as well. For avoda, divine service, implies an analogy with the manner in which an eved, servant, serves his master. Service out of fear. Fear of God is therefore the beginning and mainstay of spiritual service. Our sages say in Mechilta, that Hashem says to the Jewish people, "Kabul malchusi tchila va'achar kach egzar aleichem gezeris." First, accept my sovereignty, and afterwards, I will issue decrees for you. So that's level one. You think like, okay, of course, I have to be a servant of Hashem. I have to do whatever He wants. Maybe acceptance of the yoke of heaven means I am signed up to do what Hashem wants. That's true, but that's not the entirety of it. Fear of Hashem and acceptance of the heavenly yoke is not just like a plan or behavior or plan. It's actually a soul movement. It's a whole new way of being. It's a different way of feeling. You feel like a different person. Something is very different when we become imminently aware of Hashem's presence. It's not just, okay, now I'm sure I have to do X, Y, Z. No, something about me is different when I'm so keenly aware that Hashem is right there. In fact, my uncle, as a teenager, had a private audience with the Rebbe, and he told the Rebbe that he has a problem with anger management. And the Rebbe said to him, review the ideas in chapter 41, especially those lines where the Alter Rebbe writes that Hashem is standing over you and searching your heart and reins, and that should help. The Rebbe said to him, once you start thinking about that, your anger will go away. And my uncle, Rabbi Pinchas Kunyan, said he diligently practiced that practice, and since then, it took him a lot to get mad. People who worked in the school said that about him. They said, like, why isn't he getting mad? The guy was supposed to fix the boiler. He said it was fixed, and what do you know? The boiler is not working. And he was sure the guy was going to be fuming. The students were coming to school. It's a freezing winter day. The boiler was supposed to be working. It's not working. Why isn't he mad? He isn't mad because he was aware of Hashem's imminent presence. He took those ideas to heart. The Rebbe asked people to memorize the first section of this chapter because it is so crucial to have in our back pocket. The Rebbe prescribed this as spiritual medication for bitachain, which is faith in Hashem, for character development, for being more diligent in Torah study. Think the ideas in Perek Mem Aleph. That's what the Rebbe told people to do. So here we are, the beginning of Perek Mem Aleph. Biram, however, this is a big word. This is like, after everything I told you until now, Biram, however, here is something huge, a big idea that you need to know. Tzarech lihiyais lezikaren tamid reishis ha'avaida v'ikara v'sharsha. One must constantly bear in mind what is the beginning of divine service as well as its core and root. Yes, we need to have love, but what is the beginning? Where does it all begin? The Alter Rebbe uses three terms here. He says, reishis ha'avaida, the beginning of the service, ikara, its core, v'sharsha, and its root. These are three different terms to explain the function and the vitality, the importance of fear. First of all, before anything else, reishis, the beginning, is fear. Fear comes first. That is the first step in our spiritual journey. Second of all, it is the ikar. It is the core. It's the foundation. It's not just the first step, and now your first step is behind you. You've taken it and you've moved along. No, it's the first step. It is also the core. It's the foundation upon which everything else rests. We never graduate from fear. Fear is the first step, and fear is the last step. It's always a prevalent part of our service of Hashem. And thirdly, visharsha. It's its root. A root is different than a foundation. A foundation is supporting the home. The whole structure rests upon it, but it is a separate entity than the home. A root pervades everything about the tree, the trunk, the leaves, the branches. The root goes through and feeds all of that. Everything derives its nourishment from the root. Same thing with fear of Hashem. It is the first step. It is the support of the entire structure, and it is the root that pervades everything, even love. Even our love is pervaded with fear. And fear is a strong word. Again, a lot of times we're so resistant to that word. We can use the word ah. And it's a pure form. It's not something that is anxiety provoking. It is something that is enveloping in a way that we are so humbled by Hashem's presence. And the Alter Rebbe says like this, Vehu, ki af shehayira hisheresh lesor meira, v'ha'ahava leva'ase taiv. This means, although fear is the root of turn away from evil, and love is the root of do good, meaning fear of God is what basically urges one to refrain from evil and not to transgress the negative precepts, while love of God is what basically motivates one to perform good deeds and positive commands. This is something that we learned in chapter 4. Why does a person do a mitzvah? Because they want to connect to Hashem. So the positive mitzvah that they do is an act of love. I love Hashem. I want to connect to Him. So love motivates the positive mitzvah. Why does a person avoid a sin? Because they don't want to rebel against Him, or they don't want to be separated from Him. The core fear is really fear of separation from Hashem. Included in that fear of separation from Hashem is fear of rebelling against Him. So why does a person avoid a transgression? Fear. I don't want to rebel against Hashem. So yes, love is what motivates positive mitzvahs, and fear is what motivates staying away from negative commands. And in fact, this is exactly what the Rambam writes in his commentary to the Mishnah. He says, "V'hayira yesh la ta'elis gedayla b'mitzvahs la'isaseh, v'ahava yesh la ta'elis gedayla b'mitzvahs aseh." Fear brings great benefit with regard to the prohibitive commands, and love brings great benefit with regard to positive commands. So you say, okay, to do a mitzvah, I need love. To avoid an avera, I need fear. But here's the big idea. We need fear even to do a positive mitzvah. So we can analyze that and we can say, well, why do we need fear to do a positive mitzvah? Well, at the most basic level, in chapter 6 we learn, V'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheira Ela Al Davar Shebatal Etzla Yisbarach. Hashem only dwells on that which is surrendered to Him. So in order to serve Hashem, even with a positive mitzvah that is motivated by love, we need to be surrendered. We need to get our ego out of the way. So that would be one reason why we would say that fear is necessary even to do a positive mitzvah. But that's not where it ends. You can say, okay, fine. The other thing is, if I don't do the positive mitzvah, then I am doing something bad. Hashem said, light Shabbos candles, Hashem said, shake the lulav and esrog. If a person avoids doing a mitzvah, they are by default doing something wrong. So you can say, okay, that's the fear needed to prompt me not to do the wrong thing. That's not the case. The fear is needed even within that movement of love of coming close to Hashem. Fear is so basic. It is the first step. It is the foundation. It is the root. Not just for the negative mitzvahs, but even for the positive mitzvahs. Afal pichein, loy dai l'ayr ha'ava l'va'aseh taif. Nevertheless, it is not sufficient to awaken the love alone to do good. That is not enough. And Rabbi Steinsaltz gives a treatment to this. And he says, first of all, in our society, we have to say this strongly because we hate the word coercion. We're allergic to it. How could you say it? But if somebody loves Hashem without having fear of Him, then truly, are they loving Hashem? A lot of times people say they love when they don't love somebody else. They love themselves, and the other person fulfills that need that they have. The same way that they say they love herring is the same way they say they love someone else. Some people are fascinated by the idea of love with Hashem, and they have a fantasy about it. But if there's no fear involved, then it can't be real. Because fear of Hashem is something of an objective reality. And love that stems and pours forth just from our being could be very self-centered and not about Hashem. And there's a fascinating idea that he brings down. It's from Chassidus. I heard it quoted in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. The Jewish people were offered the Torah by Hashem, right? What did we say? We said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will listen. First, we're totally accepting the Torah, no matter what. We're just accepting it. And then we're going to come to understand, right? We voluntarily accepted the Torah. It was a huge step on our part. Hashem loved that we did that, that we said Na'aseh v'nishma. He gave us two crowns for that. Hashem said, will you accept my Torah? We said Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do, and then we will come to understand. He gave us two crowns for that. And then what does the Talmud say? The Talmud says in Gemara Shabbos, Kafa aleihem har kegigis. Hashem turned Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, over the Jewish people like a tub. And he said to them, if you accept my Torah, good. And if not, this is going to be your burial place. Wait a second. Didn't we just say we want it? Why are you forcing us? It's such an interesting idea, right? We voluntarily said we're going to accept the Torah. You know, you say, will you marry me? You say, of course. He said, and if you don't, why if you don't? We said yes. But that's because if our love for Hashem is based on ourselves, it is very limited. Our love for Hashem has to be based on Him. Hashem is the only reality. Hashem is the only truth. And in order to accept the only truth, we have to get ourselves out of the way. It wasn't voluntary. At that point, it wasn't voluntary. It came from above. And that's because the connection has to be eternal. And that can't be initiated by us. An eternal connection has to be initiated by Hashem. He said, you can see this idea in science. If somebody is making scientific observation, the observation that a person makes has to be objective. We tell the person, first, write down exactly what you saw. Not what you wanted to see. Not what you think you saw. Write down exactly what you saw. After you take notes on what you saw, then you can make correlations. Then you can figure out how these add up together. But first, take yourself out of the picture and write down exactly what you saw. When it comes to loving Hashem, when it comes to serving Hashem, love alone isn't gonna do it. There has to be an element of fear. And the element of fear is not just to get our ego out of the way. And it's not just to avoid sinning. The element of fear is even as a factor in us coming close and doing a positive mitzvah. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to describe what kind of fear is needed in order for our service to be called service. And it's going to be a very basic level of fear. There are many levels of fear. The fear that is required of us is very simple and basic. And this is what the Alter Rebbe is going to say right now. But at the very least, before performing the positive command, one must first arouse the innate fear which lies hidden in the heart of every Jew. So we don't have to create anything new. We learned about intellectual love and fear. We learned about an innate love and fear. And intellectual love and fear is something that's produced by our meditation upon Hashem. We think about Him to the point that we have a real palpable emotion in our heart generated by what we understood through our intellect. So this is a newly produced emotion of fear based on the intellect. That's not what's required here. We don't need to create anything new. Every Jewish person has a love and fear hidden within their heart just by virtue of having a soul. A divine soul is literally part of Hashem. And it has this nature of wanting to be subsumed within Him. And part of that nature of wanting to be subsumed within Hashem is a fear of, God forbid, ever separating from Him. And that's why throughout history we have these crazy stories of people who had nothing to do with Judaism. They lived a life that was immoral even. A thief. And suddenly when it came to, okay, either you convert or you die, gave up his life. Why? Because the Jewish person has this strong fear of ever being separated from Hashem. It's not something we have to create. It's not something we could create. And it's not something we can do away with. It is our very nature. So what is the basic level of fear that we have to awaken within our heart? It's our innate fear. What is the innate fear? We learned in chapters 19 and chapter 25 that the basic fear is not to separate from Hashem. Here the Alter Rebbe is going to put it in different terms. And that is, Shelei limreid b'melech malchei hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu kanes ker la'el. Not to rebel against the Supreme King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, as has been stated above. So even in, as far as our innate fear goes, there's a very basic low level. And the lowest level of that innate fear is not even a live, palpable emotion. It's just simply not wanting to rebel against Hashem. So we said the beginning of service is fear. That is the first step we need to take. Before everything else, we have to have fear of Hashem. It's the foundation of everything. It is the root that pervades everything. It's not just to avoid sin. It's even to do positive mitzvahs. What is that fear? Before you get all worked up, it's very basic. You have it already. Awaken the fear within yourself that you never want to rebel against the King of all kings, Hashem. And Alter Rebbe goes on to say, so that this fear should manifest itself in his heart, or at least in his mind. Optimally, a Jew should be able to create a feeling of fear in his heart through meditating upon Hashem's greatness. If, however, this proves to be beyond his capacity, he should at least arouse the innate fear which lies hidden in his heart. This degree of fear is attainable to all, inasmuch as it does not require such profound meditation. So first of all, it doesn't have to be intellectual, it can be innate. Now, this innate fear may be aroused either by A, to such a degree that it is actually felt in his heart, or B, if the individual is incapable of evoking palpable fear in his heart, he will at least be able to summon up his innate fear in his mind. So he will be able to apprehend and experience the fear of God intellectually. So first it became like, oh my goodness, this is huge. I have to have this fear. But what is this fear? The fear is something very basic. It's the innate fear that we have of rebelling against Hashem. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we felt that in our heart? But even if we don't feel it in our heart, at least we have to have an intellectual awareness of it. So that was step one. First of all, this is what we need to have. Now, the Alter Rebbe is going to describe what is the meditation that leads us to having this kind of fear. Dehainu l'hisboinin b'machashavtai al kol panim gedulas ein seif baruch hu u'malchusai. This means that in order to arouse within himself the latter category of fear, he should at least contemplate in his mind the greatness of the blessed Ein Sof and his kingship. To arouse the former category of fear, that which is palpably felt in the heart, a person must engage their da'at in profound meditation. A person who is not able to do so should contemplate at least superficially Hashem's greatness. So deep meditation requires a true mind connection with whatever we're studying. But here, it could be of less intensity even. It doesn't have to be to that extent. What do we have to think about? We have to think about Hashem's greatness. And this is very important. Because when we talk about fear of Hashem, a lot of times people say, okay, fear of Hashem, this person is very God-fearing. How are they so God-fearing? Because they're so careful with the minutest detail of halacha. They are so afraid, if God forbid, they did something just a little bit off, that puts anxiety in their bones. They can't take that. We have to be very careful with every detail of halacha. But that is not fear of Hashem. Fear of Hashem is not fear of the details. Fear of Hashem is thinking about Hashem's greatness. When we think about Hashem's greatness, we will be oh so careful about the details. When we become so cognizant of his imminent presence, of course we will be careful about the details. But people get caught in the minutiae. They get stuck in the details of the law. They forgot who gave the law. The law is given by Hashem. And we have to be keenly aware of his imminent presence. And this is what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, the second chapter, when he says, what is the way to come to love and fear Hashem? Now you think, what is the way to come to love and fear Hashem? Some people love talking about heaven and hell. Favorite topic. You do this, you go to heaven. You do that, you go to hell. And to the point where they have images and they have fear in their bones. Wow. Fear of hell is not fear of Hashem. Fear of punishment is not fear of Hashem. It is fear of being uncomfortable. Fear of Hashem means being so aware of his presence, meditating upon the fact that Hashem's kingship extends from the highest world to the lowest world. And like I said, the Rambam brings this up in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. He starts off the halacha by saying, Hei ach hi haderech la'ahavasai v'yirasai. What is the path to attain love and fear of him? It's not about thinking about heaven and hell. It's so important to realize that. How do we get love and fear of Hashem? B'sha'a she'yizbayin ha'adim b'maisav uvruv ha'neflaim ha'gdaylim. When a person contemplates his wondrous and great deeds and creations, when a person appreciates Hashem's infinite wisdom that surpasses all comparison, he will immediately love, praise, and glorify him, yearning with tremendous desire to know Hashem's name. As David stated, my soul thirsts for the Lord, for the living God. And he says, when he continues to reflect on these same matters, he will immediately recoil in awe and fear. You think about the same thing, it will bring you both. You think about Hashem's greatness, it will bring you love. You think about Hashem's greatness, recoil in awe and fear. Appreciating how we're just tiny, lowly, dark creatures standing with flimsy, limited wisdom before he who is of perfect knowledge. As David stated, when I see your heavens, the work of your fingers, I wonder, what is man that you should recall him? And then the Rambam says, based on these concepts, I'm going to explain important principles regarding the deeds of the master of the world so that we can develop love and fear of Hashem. So fear of Hashem is not fear of punishment. Fear of Hashem is not fear of the details. Fear of Hashem is being keenly aware of Hashem's presence. And this is what the author of it now goes on to describe. What are we going to think about? We should at least contemplate in our... Okay, this means that he should at least contemplate in his mind the greatness of the blessed Ein Sof and his kingship. Asher hi malchus kol aylamim el yayinim v'sachtayinim, which extends to all worlds, both higher and lower, bearing in mind that the greater the king's dominion, the more awe it inspires in his subjects. So we're thinking about the ultimate king here. He's not just the king of planet Earth. He's not just the king of the galaxies and space. Hashem is the king of all universes, those universes that we can't see, that are not part of our physical world. Think about the myriads of legions of angels that he has. Think about even the minutiae of this world. Hashem's dominion extends from the highest of everything to the lowest of everything. It pervades and encompasses all worlds. Hashem's kingship, if we really think about it, and we take the time to visualize the fact that his creation is infinite, and there are so many details involved, and there are huge beings and tiny beings, and each and every one of them is completely under the kingship of Hashem, that is awe-inspiring. Unbelievable to sit there with that idea and to think about it. And the Alter Rebbe says, V'ihu mimali kol amin, and let him further consider that he fills all worlds, animating them with an indwelling life force that created beings can experience and comprehend. Hashem animates us with something that we can be a vessel for. And furthermore, the Seviv Ka'omen, and encompasses all worlds, meaning he also animates them with a life force that transcends the experience and comprehension of created beings. So Hashem relates to the world in one way that he pervades them, and they could relate to the life force that he puts within them, and that gives them their character and their shape. And then there is a life force that completely transcends us. We say it surrounds us, not because it doesn't pervade us. It definitely pervades us. It's what brings us into being. But because it is so beyond us, we say as though it encircles us. We can't relate to it. We don't even understand it. As it is written, do I not fill heaven and earth? So this is the beginning of the meditation. It's not the core of the meditation. It's what's leading us to the core of the meditation. So we're starting off by thinking about the awesomeness of Hashem, that his kingship extends from the higher world to the lower world, that he pervades all beings and surrounds all beings. As the Navi Yirmiyahu says, don't I fill heaven and earth? Now listen to this. Umaniyach ha'elyayinim v'sachtayinim. Yet he leaves aside the creatures of the higher worlds and the creatures of the lower worlds. So we're thinking about the highest beings, the most spiritual, lofty beings, the highest worlds. Hashem created them all. He is king over all of them, but he disregards them. He disregards them. That is not of what is of ultimate value to him. Neither the higher nor the lower creatures represent the Creator's ultimate intention. He therefore does not bestow his kingship upon them so that he be called their God and King. Rather, Umiyached Malchusai Al-Amai Yisrael Bichlal. He uniquely bestows his kingship upon his people Israel in general, for God is known as King of Israel. So think about this. Hashem created everything. There are beings of tremendous character, if you want to call it that. Beings of tremendous spiritual value. We cannot comprehend them. We cannot bear being exposed to those kind of beings. Hashem is king over all of them, the highest and the lowest. But where does he call himself king? Not through any of those. Not through the highest angels, not through the highest worlds. He uniquely confers his kingship upon the Jewish people. That means that he decided, in order to be called king, the Jewish people have to call me king. Now, the term melucha, melech, is of voluntary meaning. What does that mean? That means that if somebody rules over people that don't want to be ruled by them, they're not a king. They're a dictator. When it comes to melucha, it's umalchusai biratzain kiblu alehem. They have accepted his kingship willingly upon themselves. Hashem decided that in order for him to be called king, we have to willingly call him king. He is authority. He is God. He has dominion over everything. Yet he disregards the highest and the lowest worlds. He leaves them all aside and he uniquely bestows his kingship upon the Jewish people. Okay, so we can say the reason why I have to accept Hashem as king is because I am Jewish. I'm part of the Jewish people. And he decided that in order for him to be called king, I have to accept his kingship and call him king. But it goes much further than that. Ve'alav bifrat, and upon him in particular. It's not just, I'm part of the Jewish people, and so I have to accept Hashem as king. Because if I were not to accept him, God forbid, then something is missing in the wholeness of the Jewish people. It's like that analogy of the king who comes to a village which is known for their beautiful wines. And everybody, as a gift, is going to take one barrel of wine and put it in this huge vat with a golden spigot. And when the king comes, he's going to open the spigot and all those beautiful wines together are going to serve him a cup of the most brilliant wine. And each person thinks to themselves, oh my gosh, am I going to waste a barrel of wine? There's thousands of us in the village. I'll just put a barrel of water. Who's going to know? And then the king comes, and what comes out of the spigot? water. Not just one person had that idea. A bunch of minds thought the same idea. That's not the reason why we accept Hashem as king. Not because we're part of the Jewish people and our barrel counts. The reason why we accept Hashem as king is because Hashem is saying uniquely to each of us, I am not king unless you call me king. Is this an unbelievable idea? Hashem is saying, I am Hashem. I have created heaven and earth. I have created vast universes that you are not privy to. I have myriad, infinite amount of servants, but none of them are truly servants to me. I am not called king because of them. The Alter Rebbe, in a Hasidic discourse, describes how a king has dominion over everything in his kingship, in his kingdom. He has dominion over stones and wood, animals and people. You're not going to call a king king because he can destroy a house if he wants to, because after all, he has dominion over the house. And you're not going to call him king because he could do whatever he wants with the animals or the rocks. The only reason why the king is called king is because of the people in the kingdom. They have relative value to him. And if they accept him and say, you are my king, that's how he earns the title king. Everything that Hashem created are like the rocks and stones to him. That's not what makes him king. Hashem chose the Jewish people that they should have that value, that importance to him, that if they call him king, that's why he's called king. And it's not the Jewish people just as a whole. The Alter Rebbe says, "V'alav bifrat," and upon him in particular. That means that all of these universes depend upon one person. Me. The purpose of creation depends uniquely on one person, me. It's up to me to accept Hashem's kingship and to call him king. And that is the reason why he's called king, because I have called Hashem king. And the Alter Rebbe brings a supporting statement from the Talmud. Ki chayav adam leimar bishvili nivra ha'ilam. For a man is obligated to say, for my sake was the world created. It's like Hashem is saying to each of us, nothing matters to me except for you. And I'm only going to be called king if you uniquely call me king. You know, we're so used to saying, well, I'll leave it up to that great person or that spiritual person. It doesn't matter what level we're at. Hashem is speaking to each of us personally, and he's saying, I need you. I need you to call me king. A Jew should remind himself that the whole purpose and intent of creation, viz. Hashem's sovereignty, relates to him specifically that Hashem become king over him. The realization that God bestows his kingship upon each individual in particular touches a responsive chord within a person. He is then more apt to demand of himself that he accept the heavenly yoke. So let me wrap up what we said until now. And that is the first step we have to take in service of Hashem. Notwithstanding everything we said before about the importance of love and having kavana, step one is, and this is something that we have to remember always. The Alter said it has to be something you always remember. The beginning of service of Hashem, the core of it, the root of it, is fear. And even though true love is what prompts the positive mitzvahs and fear is what prompts the negative mitzvahs, fear is needed even for the positive mitzvahs. What kind of fear is needed? A very basic level of fear. The innate fear that we already have, not to rebel against Hashem. We can have that feeling in our heart. But even if we can't have it in our heart, it's good enough if we have it in our mind. How are we going to get to that? We think about Hashem's kingship, that it extends from the higher world to the lower worlds. It pervades everything. It surrounds everything. And yet, Hashem disregards that all. And he uniquely confers his kingship upon the Jewish people as a whole, but upon each of us in particular. All of creation relies upon me, A person has to say, for my sake, the world was created. And we're going to discuss that statement at length next week at class with Hashem. I'm closing class for today. Thank you, everyone, so much for coming. And I'm opening up for questions and discussion.